You're listening to Asia Calling and I'm Nicole Kirby. Coming up on the show this week, Indian filmmakers getting hot under the collar as they dispute a ban on a film that puts women's desires in the spotlight.
This kind of a decision by the censor board is absolutely like striking a blow to women's rights.
An elephant orphanage in Sri Lanka bringing a threatened species back from the brink. Plus size models on the catwalk in Indonesia. And environmental activists risking their lives in the Philippines. Welcome to Asia Calling and thanks for tuning into the show. India's decision to ban the award-winning Hindi film Lipstick Under My Burqa has sparked outrage across the country. The film follows the lives of four women, a burqa-clad college student, a young beautician, a mother of three, and a 55-year-old widow. India's Central Board of Film Certification said it banned the film because of its explicit nature and use of strong language. Jasvinder Sehgal explores the controversy.
Twenty-six-year-old Irem Taslim, a journalist from Jaipur, is watching the trailer of the controversial Indian film Lipstick Under My Burqa. She wants to write a review of the film for a newspaper, but that's difficult now. She can't watch it. The ban, she says, is a slap in the face for freedom of expression.
This is a women-oriented film, and in India, such films are hardly produced. To block its public screening challenges women's right to free expression. On the one hand, we talk about the rights of girl children and their education, but when a girl, women wish to express themselves, they are shut down. What is the use, then, of Article 19 of the Indian Constitution, which guarantees freedom of speech and expression?
But local film critic and ardent art lover, 45-year-old Shabana Dagar, has a very different view. Dagar says freedom of expression doesn't mean having a license to be vulgar.
Freedom of expression doesn't mean vulgarity and nudity. Innovative thoughts and ideas can be expressed in other ways too. Adequate precautions and care should be undertaken while practicing freedom of speech, clothes and thought. There is a limit to everything, and if that grows, the results are bad.
In the film, Ratna Pathak Shah, a leading Indian actress, plays the role of a 55-year-old widow rediscovering her sexuality. She says the perspective of women in India has changed dramatically over the decades, and that is what the film portrays.
बहुत ही अनयूजुअल फिल्म है इस तरह की फिल्में और इस तरह के रोल औरतों के लिए आमतौर पे लिखे नहीं
जाते व्हाट आई पर्सनली फील इज दैट द फिल्म डिपिक्स द न्यू वेव ऑफ चेंज हैपनिंग इन आवर कंट्री द पीपल आर चेंजिंग एंड सो आर वुमेन
बदल रहे हैं
दिस फिल्म कैप्चर्स एंड शोस द चेंज द लीड रोल इज प्लेड बाय वुमेन बट थ्रू देम व्हाट्स हैपनिंग इन द एंटायर वर्ल्ड हैज बीन शोकेस्ड
दुनिया है वो तो सबको पहचानने में आएगी
जान 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 बिना पूछ हाय हाय
Indian authorities says they banned the film for its explicit language and a scene that includes phone sex, which they say qualifies as pornography. The board also said the film might be specially offensive to the Muslim community given it features a burqa-clad woman. Pehlaj Nehlani, a noted filmmaker, is the chairman of India's Central Board of Film Certification. He says the board didn't take the decision to ban the film lightly.
It's not like that the film has been banned. There is a process for getting the certificate to the film. The panic is being created so that the producer gets mileage and publicity. I don't want to comment anything more.
But the creators of Lipstick Under My Burqa strongly refute the ban. The film, they say, has a strong feminist message. Here's the director, Alankrita Srivastava,
If India is truly a democratic country and the constitution promises freedom of expression as well as gender equality, then we have to make that sort of freedom and that equality real for ourselves. And I feel that this kind of a decision by the censor board is absolutely like striking a blow to women's rights. So I do feel that the dichotomy is very, very strong, because there are like women like me, and everybody's feeling this sense of anger that, you know, how can the censor board just try and muffle and stifle women's voices?
Alinkrita does have a lot of support. Many, like journalist Iram Taslim, says the board's decision to ban the film should be legally challenged.
The job of the Central Board of Film Certification is to certify the film. The board cannot censor the film. This is a big question mark on the transparent working of the board.
As for Alinkrita, she says the legal fight is just starting.
There's a tribunal, the FCAT in New Delhi. So we are preparing the case to get the decision overturned. And also there's the courts after that.
Lipstick Under My Burqa has so far won several awards at film festivals in Tokyo, Amsterdam and Scotland, including the Oxfam Award for Best Film on Gender Equality. Many in India hope it won't be too long before it can be screened in movie cinemas here too. For Isha Calling, this is Jaswinder Sehgal in Jaipur, India.
Deforestation, poaching, and civil war have had a devastating impact on Sri Lanka's elephant population. But an orphanage for elephants is working to bring the species back from the brink of extinction. Asia Calling correspondent Naeem Sahutra has this story.
As the sun rises over the lush green mountains in the Sri Lankan province of Sabara Gamuva, a team of vets is preparing large bottles of milk. There are two orphaned baby elephants here at the Pinnawala Elephant Orphanage, and they are definitely hungry. The calves Pandula and Migara are impatiently consuming their breakfast.
These are the open babies. They come from the wild, so we have to look after during their lifetime. And their age is below 5 years, 4.5 years and 4 years.
That's Chandrika Priyadashni, the research and education assistant at the orphanage, talking to me about the Pandula and Migara after feeding time is over. The two elephant babies were rescued from Ritigala forest several years ago. Over recent decades, massive development has seen elephant habitats in Sri Lanka shrink. Thousands of acres of thick forest has been cut down to make way for residential areas and agricultural land.
So many wildlife animals damage their life, especially elephants. They need a big forest. As a result of that, so many elephants became open.
As their habitat has been drastically reduced, elephants now wander into farms in search of food. Hundreds have been killed by people in surrounding communities because they are seen as a nuisance, even though they are endangered. In response to critical threats to the elephant population, the orphanage was established in 1975.
We have started with 5 open babies. Now they are big elephants. 3 of them are living in here. Others 2 died. So our first aim is conservation.
Today it is believed there are about 6,000 elephants still in the wild in Sri Lanka. But 3 decades ago, their population was estimated to be as high as 24,000, according to the Sri Lankan Wildlife Conservation Department. As well as Sri Lanka, Asian elephants are also found in India, Thailand and Indonesia, but the sanctuary here in Sri Lanka has played a significant role in conservation.
Our first baby born in here in 1984.
There are around 88 elephants here at the orphanage, including 20 baby elephants. Here at the Pinnawala Elephants Orphanage, there is a push to improve awareness about the endangered species. After 4 decades, the center has become an iconic place to visit. Spread over 25 acres of land, visitors can learn about elephants as well as watch them bathe and feed. At 4 p.m., fun time starts. Sirens are blown to stop traffic outside the orphanage as the elephants form a train to cross over to the river, where they bathe and swim twice a day. Mathali, an elephant in her 40s, was once orphaned and now leads the herd.
When she was younger, she showed so many qualities, especially mother's qualities. She can manage all the other elephants very well. And I think she's a leader selected by themselves.
Many elephant calves that have spent time here are later released into the wild. In the meantime, orphaned calves Pandula and Migara are still waiting for an adoptive mother and a herd to call their own. Poesia calling, this is Naeem Sohotra in Pinnawala, Sri Lanka.
You're listening to Asia Calling KBR. From Botticelli's Italian figures to stick-thin models like Kate Moss, definitions of beauty have changed drastically over the years. But right now, we live in a time where very thin women are seen as the ideal, a trend that some Indonesian women are railing against. From Jakarta, Rendika Wijaya finds out more. If slim women can do it, then so can I. Sakti Nugrahani Widi told herself.
Initially, the reason I took modeling is because this field was not for plus size women, but some people are big. I thought nothing is impossible. If slim women can model, so can we.
Sakti, at 120 kilograms, is not the type of woman you'd normally see on the catwalk. She started at first because her friends would often ask her to model their products. Later, she started to think seriously about modeling as a career.
Initially, people asked me to do photo shoots for plus size products. And then, more and more people started selling clothes for plus size women.
Together with her two friends, Indrayati Silan and Mita Diane Ward, they set up an agency called Big Beauty Model Management, an agency that provides plus-size models. Since then, Sakti, 32, has also worked internationally, including modelling for an Australian brand called My Size.
Balik dong ke sini kan, baliklah ke Indonesia gitu.
Itu kuliahnya di Amerika juga.
Kuliahnya di Amerika juga. Terus udah gitu ditanya dong sama orang.
Riri Boga is the founder of the Extra Large Community. It's a group that aims to improve the confidence of plus-size women. Riri saw the need for this firsthand when she ran a clothing boutique in South Jakarta. Instead of buying clothes, women would often come and share their body image problems.
They would think about how to get slim so people would like them. They wanted to be slim so much, they forgot to be happy. Actually, beauty has nothing to do with weight. I mean, when we are able to be ourselves, when we love ourselves, automatically our inner beauty comes through.
Riri's community started with about 10 people. Now, almost a decade later, there are 10,000 members. The community holds fashion shows, talk shows, and charity events to raise funds for the victims of natural disasters. The group has also started networking with similar communities in other parts of the world, from the United States and Canada, who are members of the Fuller Woman International Network.
Balik ke Indonesia, kena lagi dong sama yang namanya nggak percaya diri. Karena apa? Karena
standards of women's beauty have changed drastically over time. In the 60s and 70s, it was the curves of Marilyn Monroe that women aspired to have. These days, it's the super skinny supermodel that's the dominant body on catwalks. But Riri says, measuring women's beauty by the size of their waist, reinforced by images from the multi-billion dollar cosmetic and fashion industry, is ridiculous.
The industry and public perception are self-reinforcing because the industry is also seeing what women like. And eventually, the public mindset is formed by the industry. Women forget that they are already beautiful.
In Indonesia, the ideal woman is also seen as slim, with long hair and light skin. But in the future, Riri hopes there will be more plus-size women on the catwalk.
Now and abroad, they are already using large-size models, so it may take time. But then, there will be a moment when being beautiful will be seen not just a physical issue. The people who change that are the activists who believe that beauty is not about size. We should fight this together.
For Sakti, beauty is about something else entirely.
If a woman is confident in herself, knows herself, knows what makes her happy, then she will be happy. A happy person is definitely a beautiful person.
For Asia Calling, this feature was produced by Randika Wijaya in Jakarta, Indonesia. In February this year, environmental lawyer Mia Manuelita Kumba Masakarin Yasgreen was shot dead on the Filipino island of Bohol. She's one of many green activists who have lost their lives in the Philippines. In 2015, London-based Global Witness listed the Philippines as the most dangerous country in Asia for environmentalists. But, as Jofel Tesorio and Ariel Carlos report from Palawan, the Philippines, there are some remarkable women environmentalists who are not afraid of the dangers.
Well, we do not own this piece of land. Inahanap namin yung may-ari kasi gusto sana namin...
Asked anyone in Palawan province about the green lady in the name of environmentalist lawyer Jerty Mayo Anda comes up. She has become the poster girl of the environmental movement here. Amid the mining rush, development and other environmental issues, she established the Environmental Legal Assistance Center, or ELAC, in the 1990s.
It's basically to utilize my knowledge and skills as a legal professional to be able to help the least of our brethren by focusing mainly on how we can survive as a people, anchoring our survival on healthy ecosystems.
For more than 25 years, she has defended almost every environment issue that has also earned her the title Forest Heroine. Jerty Center has fought against illegal logging, fishing, mining, and other resource extractive activities.
When you talk of extractive projects like mining, energy, development of fossil fuels, and even pushing for good environmental governance, these are very difficult because you're dealing here with powerful stakeholders who can actually make the advocacy work difficult.
Declared as a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve for having the most number of key biodiversity areas, Palawan is the Philippines' last ecological frontier. It is also the battleground for environmentalists where the majority are women.
Silent protest kasi nakatayo lang naman kami sa gilid ng kalsada. Wala kami ginagawa. We're just holding the message.
Cynthia Sumagaysay is a vocal critic of a planned coal-fired power plant. She has earned the ire of many pro-coal politicians and investors.
The people of Palawan, the Palawenos, are being tricked into something that they didn't completely understand. I feel that they were being lied to, that they were being told that the coal plant was urgently needed. Then that was a big lie. Mm-hmm.
But she isn't afraid.
I'm beyond fear. I have said before that everybody dies anyway, even the perpetrators of the crime. And I will be more fearful if my life has been wasted on not doing something to better this world, if I am just part of the problem rather than the solution.
The Philippines is the most dangerous country in Asia for green activists, according to international watchdog Global Witness. Between 2012 and 2013, a total of 88 environmental activists were killed in the country, next to Brazil's 448 and Honduras' 109. Lawyer Jerdy Anda says this is because of the culture of impunity.
We find it disturbing that it happens in a small country. It only shows that the culture of impunity is still there, the lack of political will to hold liable those who have been responsible is still a continuing challenge.
Fellow green activist Marivic Bero, the Secretary General of the Coalition Against Land Grabbing, says there is inherent danger in being an environmental activist in the Philippines. Her group is working with peasant organizations, farmers, and indigenous peoples who are affected by land acquisitions for large-scale plantations such as palm oil and mining activities.
Bilang isang babaeng NGO worker, every time na pupunta ako
as a female NGO worker, I feel some fear every time I go to the field. That's inevitable, especially in the course of protecting the environment. You bump up against powerful people, powerful companies, politicians, and other government officials.
Mga politiko, matataas ang posisyon sa ating pamahalaan.
Palawan is the microcosm of the Philippines, where environmental activists and politicians clash. Politicians often disregard environmental impacts to give way for investments, which are often resource extractive. This creates a more dangerous life for environmentalists. Again, Marivic Bero.
Every time nasa field ka, lagi ka nasa peligro.
I can say that whenever we are in the field, we face danger. But for me, if your time is up, it's up. If you are going to die, you'll die. It's better you die a worthy death by doing something to help others.
Environmental defenders also experience threats and physical violence, restrictions of their freedoms and depriving them of opportunities. And it's not safer to women. Lawyer Jerdy Anda says they are equally vulnerable.
I have listened to fellow human rights and environmental advocates discussing in several fora about women indigenous leaders being killed in the Cordillera or even in Mindanao. And therefore, there is no foolproof guarantee that women continue to be safe. We are just equally threatened like men.
Jerdy believes that killing of environmentalists will continue if a corrupt system persists. But for her and other women green activists, they will continue to defend Earth without fear. For colleague Marivic Bero, they are doing it for the future generation.
I'm doing this for my children, besides fighting for the rights of the indigenous people. I want my children and grandchildren to live in a peaceful environment where they can still smell fresh air, see different kinds of birds, climb trees, and forest to wander.
With Ariel Carlos from Palawan, Philippines, this is Jofel Tesorio for Asia Calling.
That's all for this edition of Asia Calling. Our program was produced in the studios of Radio KBR in Jakarta, Indonesia. To find out more about our show, send us a message on our Asia Calling Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Asia Calling for more updates. You can now also podcast the show. Go to the iTunes Store or your podcasting app and search for Asia Calling. And subscribe for free to the weekly episodes. I'm Nicole Kirby, back next week with more stories from Asia.
เธอคงเคยได้ยินเพลงรักมานับร้อยพัน จะโดนใจแต่ก็มีความหมายมันเหมือนกันแต่ถ้าเธอฟังเพลงนี้เพลงที่เขียนเพื่อเธอ